Hi, hello everybody, and welcome into another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 51, season 2, episode 17, titled Miles of Magic. I'm Logan Oganity Morris, and a hearty haktua to you wherever you may be. And I don't do it alone, and we thank God for that, so let's bring in the cast of characters that is with me for the evening. Let's bring him in first, the show creator, my favorite Canadian for the next hour or so, and hopefully yours. Let's bring him on in here. Adam Carney Carbine. Come on, buddy. How are you?
You just went full haktua on it, hey? Wow.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, very timely of you. What a timely reference.
That's me, Mr. Timely.
Happy Monday afternoon, evening to you all. And let's get this party started here at Racing Refresh Happy Hour.
Absolutely. It's I think it's haktua worthy, to be honest with it. let's spin on that thing and make it happen. Freddie, how you doing, brother? One of your favorite Canadians? Oh, I could never forget about you or Matt. I promise. I could never, ever forget. I promise you that, brother. some memories just burn deep, Freddie, and yours is ingrained in mine. So don't you ever worry about it, Fred. We are pals. We are buds. Don't you worry about it. Frankly, our friendship, let's be honest, buddy, Freddie, it's finger looking good. Speaking of friendship, speaking of love, let's bring her on in here. The woman that puts the produce in producer, the woman that has Ryan Blaney's heart and he's not even aware, but soon he will be just based on probably the mugshot. So let's bring her on in here. Producer Peggy, say hello. Oh, yeah. Not quite tinfoil, folks. Peter, what's going on there?
I have a glizzy.
You mean a hot dog?
It's called a glizzy.
Yeah.
Tell us what's happening with your hair right now. Yes,
please.
Okay. Here's the full story.
Yep.
I'll make it short. I have old money blonde hair. And when I was a kid, that was not cool. But now that Taylor Swift has it, it is cool. Well, I was conditioned to not like it. So now I highlight it. And since Logan and I are going to cover Norwalk this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The NHRA event. I really wanted to impress Tony Stewart's baby that isn't born yet. And yeah. So I'm freshly highlighting my hair to impress Tony Jr. And maybe Tony Stewart will adopt me.
Well, that's the most interesting 5 minutes of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, I can promise you that. About two or three. So she's hoping for an adoption as we head to the track this weekend in beautiful Norwalk, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland, a little bit of it. So we'll be there, and we might even get some scoop and bring it to RacingRefresh.com. Adam, you've done some NHRA coverage in your time. Went to Sonoma.
Yes, Sonoma. I think just Sonoma, but I'm trying to remember now. I don't know. I feel like I've done it twice, but I can't remember. Maybe Sonoma twice. Anyways, it's a good time for sure. I think you'll enjoy it. Is this going to be your first ever NHRA event?
Yes, absolutely, and certainly my first cover, which is why you and I said, "Hey, go cover that." Freddie says NHRA would be sweet to check out. Well, we will check it out, Freddie. And
Make sure you pack earplugs.
I don't believe in those.
It's louder than NASCAR.
It's in the spirit of 1776 says let it rip.
I guess, but next week you're going to be here on the show going what?
It cannot be louder than a Pantera concert.
I've never been to Pantera, so I don't know.
My ears were ring, ding, dangling. Who?
Nine Inch Nails were louder than Pantera.
They were loud. All right, let's talk some NASCAR, huh?
Let's do it.
But let us know before we start NASCAR, what's been your loudest concert in your life? Let us know in the comments below. We'll see if we can get to them. And let's talk some NASCAR. Let's let Peggy work on her hair and get all dolled up for Tony Stewart and hopefully John
Ford. Tony Stewart's baby.
Just the baby. Not for Tony Stewart. Right.
So not Tony, not potentially John, not John Drivers, not Ron Capps. Not Doug Cavalletta. Nope. None of them?
Someone's been doing their research.
No.
Do you think Leah Pruitt will be there?
I would assume not, but you never know. It's kind of warm, and I don't know. Anywho, let's get to work here.
Let's move on.
Let's get to work. Let's do our weekend review. And a comment Beautiful. To get you from Beautiful. Freddie. He says, all I can say is that Bell has figured out. Yes, New Hampshire, he has figured it out something good. Freddie, what's the loudest concert you ever been to? Let us know in the comments. Let us know in the comments below. But yeah, it's time for our weekend review. Christopher Bell wins a wet and a wild one in overtime. We saw history, Adam. We saw true blue NASCAR history, 76 years or 75 plus kind of into the sport. You know, we've had wet weather tires. We're getting there. We're getting AJ Engel. First of all, let me just say this. We want to send our best wishes to you and all the folks at John Force Racing, and especially John Force himself. Hope he's recovering well. Mm-hmm. Good to have you tuning in. Freddie says AC/DC was a loud concert, but it was fun. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of dirty deeds. They're cheap. That's how I do them because I'm a cheap guy. So, all right. So we saw some true history at New Hampshire. The wet weather tires we saw one time at Richmond to kind of get a race started. This was 82 laps technically on wet weather tires to finish out this puppy. So Christopher Bell gets it done. He continues his masterful take of New Hampshire. He did the same thing in the Xfinity race. We'll touch on that a little bit as we go along. But I want your thoughts on the wet weather tires and how that shook out and just what we saw in a more overarching process to start us out, Adam. You had the floor.
Yeah, I push back a little bit on this whole like history has been made sort of thing that they're going for. And maybe that's just because I'm newer to the sport and it doesn't feel that amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's great. I'm glad that they were able to finish the race. I feel bad for Tyler Reddick. You know, he looked pretty, you know, in a pretty sweet spot there when the rain came pouring down. I thought, oh, this is not going to happen. They're going to wrap this up here pretty soon. And sure enough, I was wrong, but I don't know. I'm less on board with this whole like history. This is the greatest, you know, moment in the history of the sport. We're racing in a damp situation. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I'm happy. It's, you know, good to see that. But I don't know if it's like worth, you know, bowing down to the gods of Goodyear and thank you so much for this rain tire. You've made history.
That's what we should call this episode, the gods of Goodyear.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, great. It's just, I don't know. We got to keep up with the Mother Nature these days, it seems. So. But I don't know. I'm glad the race did finish. And honestly, props to Christopher Bell. It was just a clinic near the end there. And, you know, after winning in Xfinity as well, it's just, you know, he clearly knows what he's doing there. So props to him.
I thought for a little bit there during overtime that I might be behind in a particular bet that I have going on that I won't go any further in. I was getting a wee bit of a little nervous. I went, oh, no. No.
I did think it was funny, and you know, we're spoiling all our later news, but I thought it was funny that it was Christopher Bell battling Chase Briscoe for the win, really, and it was those two that were biggest in the news this week, anyway. So,
yeah, really ironic how that works out, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
You know, Christopher Bell plays does Eat Your Heart Out, Bob Pockers. I'm gonna break this story for you. And then he ends up winning the race, and then Chase Briscoe, you know, fights his guts out to get second because he was behind the eight ball there for a while.
Yep.
A lot of underdog stories that we'll get into as we go along. All right. I understand why you're pushing back on the history thing, but I thought Jeff Burton did a great job of explaining why it is history, because NASCAR, as he admitted, has been a little behind the times on wet weather and kind of advancing in that regard. So while, yeah, if you watch other motorsports like F1 and other types and IndyCar and all that, and of course you do, you dabble in it, you've gone, and I get why it's not quite the whoa big sensation that you're thinking of, but it is history for NASCAR, and all things considered, I want to state this and be fair. I want to be fair to the fact that yeah, they did make history, and we should acknowledge that and appreciate that. I think it's great. However, I thought they went too far in one thing. The absolute babying of the best alleged drivers in the world on the tire thing was just so painful to watch and deal with, in my estimation. Like, if they want to change their tires, now, if you think it's unsafe to have slicks, you have a right as a sport to override. I get that. But then don't put more wet weather on. What? Why can't? Are you kidding? Why? Why can't you? Yeah. That's weird. And if somebody screws the pooch and screws up, oh well. Mm-hmm. That was my only frustration. I'm glad they tried. I think it was wonderful. I'm happy with it. But my frustration was, why are we changing the wet weather tires? What were your thoughts on that fiasco?
Yeah, that was annoying. You know, it was like, why? And sorry, I'm getting caught up here. I think the other part too is like, you heard different drivers. I don't know if you were paying attention to much of the different scanners and stuff, but like a driver like Kyle Larson was like, I'm ready for slicks. Let's go. Let's put slicks on. You had someone like Christopher Bell, who their spotter was asking, you know, do you think it's dry enough to put slicks on? And he was like, no chance. This is still way too wet. So I don't know. Yeah. Give them a chance to go out there and make a mistake. I understand they don't want to like have crashes necessarily, just because people are, you know, they did have the recap of that race a few years ago when they all went into turn one and it was raining and it was a disaster. Yeah, I get that. But at a certain point, like, just let them figure it out themselves, you know? And even if it is too wet, okay, let's say Kyle Larson's just a maniac and he's the only one who actually was ready for slicks. Let's say it's too unsafe for slick tires. Then just say you can't put slicks on. Just say you can change into wet weather tires whenever you want. You can put new ones on whenever, but you can't put slicks on right now because it's still too dangerous. I think that's fine. Like, keep some strategy in it instead of, you know, okay, everyone come on down together. We're going to put new tires on together. Okay, go back out now. Okay, sounds good. You know, like, I don't know. It is, as you said, it is the best drivers in the world, the best teams in the world as far as like this kind of racing goes. Let them figure it out.
Look, I don't disagree with you at all. I think that's where they went too far. Again, I think if you wanted to say we don't think it's safe enough for slicks, I think that's fine. I get it if it's a pure safety issue. So if you're like, you can go wets but not slicks, just because people have to understand, we've had those clusters in the past. We had Daytona where everyone was making, you know, I don't want to say jokes over a wreck, but it was certainly they were dogging NASCAR on their decision. We have, of course, saw COTA, which I think was one of the more embarrassing moments in recent memory of the sport. That's been a few years now. I believe it was COTA of 21. And while I can always appreciate trying something new and doing something different, I will always appreciate that. But I after those fiascos, Daytona, COTA comes to mind, New Hampshire as well, a few years ago, Kyle Busch and I believe Kyle Busch in another car, because Eric Amarola, I believe, won that race actually, had issues way early because it was kind of slick, it was kind of wet, and they wrecked out early. And
I believe it was Martin Truex Jr. Yeah. I seem to recall. Very sad day.
And so those three incidents, by the way, AJ says that Adam's other NHRA show was Seattle.
Maybe it was. That sounds logical, but it's not ringing a bell. I don't know. I'm going to have to look back into my records here.
When we're trusting AJ's, I mean, I'm just saying, God love him. I'm dealing with a lot right now. And again, our best wishes to his boss, but
Yeah.
When we're trusting old AJ's memory. Goodness. Yeah. I just think that they should have let kind of boys have at it as far as the wet weather goes. And so AJ says, Kent, Washington. All right.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. Not quite Seattle, but it's close.
He's got you. he's got you. Well, look, I'm going to Norwalk, so we got to get you back out for out west. You need to shake it out west, as that song used to say. Remember that? I was big on the TikTok, I believe.
That's good. It's a good one.
That's a hit. So we got to get you back out there, maybe for the Nationals. Or the you know, they got the in and out event and all that. So we can get you a burger.
Get you a little
burger. Yeah. you're a West guy. Are you an in and out burger fella?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I got some on my trip down to Sonoma recently. You know, I feel like when you're down there, you got to do it. So
getting a gun. Oh yeah, a little. Now, are you just a burger and fry fella? What's your?
I'm gonna expose myself as a real like glutton here, but I'm a 3x3 animal style kind of guy with a side of fries. So
that's, I like it.
That's the good stuff, but you know that's good after the track, not on the way to the track.
Let me tell you. Next thing you know, there you are with your credential. Where do you hang that up?
Yeah, it's
Very. I'm very very excited. We're going to talk more about it later in the show to get out to Norwalk and hopefully see the founder and just take in the thunder that is.
Yep.
The NHRA. Hoping to have some fun. And frankly, I'm going to say it, hoping to see John Force there. So, John, if you're listening from someplace, even if you're not cleared to go, maybe come on out and, you know, just check on your fellas.
No kidding.
That's it. So, hopefully we see, boy, that man's a big personality. Can you imagine me, him, and the founder in the same room?
Oh, my gosh. I think the world might just implode. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. personality, and you got a great big smile. Mm-hmm. All right, so the wet weather tires, they did prevail. You got the whole race in. Tyler Reddick was looking good. So I want you to let's play a little hindsight, a little 2020 vision, which is what we're hoping to have with these spectacles you and I have.
Yep.
Given what we saw, should they have finished the race under wet weather tires?
I don't think there was any issue with the wet weather tires. There were a couple of people spinning out, but I feel like on the grand, you know, scheme of things, like on the whole, I think most of them reacted well enough to that. I think the incidents where people were spinning out was not necessarily because of like the tires not doing well or safety. I think it was more, you know, I don't want to say it, but it's like, you know, they ran out of talent a little bit sometimes there. So
Ryan Newman hit the nail, boys.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think as much as part of me, you know, I enjoy Tyler Reddick and I like it when he wins. I'm, you know, he's possibly going to be my new driver once MTJ retires. I'm still completely undecided, but that's where I'm leaning. As much as I would have liked to see him win, I think, you know, no one wants to win as a rain delay, you know, like just that kind of awkward moment where you're sitting in the pit box and you get an announcement saying the race is done and you go, oh yay, we won, you know, like it still counts. And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those people that says like, oh, that doesn't count. It absolutely counts as a win, but there is something, you know, joyous about crossing the finish line first on that last lap and just, you know, being able to celebrate in your car, do some burnouts, all that stuff. So I'm okay with it for Tyler Reddick. And to be honest, I think if he, you know, I'm sure he would say he wants to have the win, but I'm sure he was probably happy that they went back racing too. So, oh, it sounds like you're muted there, Mr. Logan.
It's better for the sport, no doubt about it. Especially, let's be honest, no matter your opinion, Charlotte turned into a bit of a fiasco.
Yep.
And so that, I think that was tough. And I think they needed this to kind of, you know, get the taste out of their mouth from that situation.
Absolutely. No, I agree.
Again, was this perfect? No, I think there's plenty of things to improve upon, which we've talked about. However, again, I will say this to all you critics that go, oh my God, they're so incompetent. They can't figure out this. They can't figure out that. How do you not know this? They're also trying something new for the first time, like the rest of us, ladies and gentlemen. They're doing, you know, there are, Look, we can armchair quarterback all day long. We can armchair quarterback all day long. And I'm damn good at it. I'm the best armchair quarterback sitting in this seat. But you have to also give them a little grace on the fact it's new for them too, in my opinion.
So, oh, yeah. Absolutely new for them. And they're trying something out for the first time in like the grandest stage in front of, you know, a bunch of viewers and live audience as well. So I don't know. Yeah. I usually I don't want to seem like a NASCAR homer, but I usually cut them some slack for trying stuff. And I always give them props for, you know, kind of recognizing where they've gone wrong and trying to address that moving forward. So.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Kyle Busch before we move on.
Whew.
Rough day for arguably the greatest of all time, someone that's in the conversation. Rough day. And so Adam, what was your take on Kyle Busch's no good, horrible, you know, that whole sort of deal? Series of unfortunate events is the,
seriously, as the
Lemony Snicket book series once
told. I'm looking back at, like, what is this? His last six races. It's been a rough go. He's 27th, 15th, 35th, 12th is the high mark there, then 35 and 35 in a row. Like that is not Kyle Busch-esque. That is, I don't even know what that is. It's Austin Dillon-esque, and that's not a good thing, you know? So it's, This poor guy. I mean, he's going through it right now. He's grumpy, and hello, producer Peggy. Welcome. I was just talking about Kyle Busch and how, you know what, I kind of don't fault him for being grumpy right now. And it's funny, we've talked in the past about how he has kind of mellowed out lately. And to be honest, I think we're still seeing that. I think, you know, can you imagine this kind of stretch of races happening to Kyle Busch 4 years ago? I think there would be murders at the track. Like,
people would just, Stenhouse would not have come back from that fight.
No, exactly. Like, so this is tame Kyle Busch having a really bad go of it. And yeah, I don't know. There was some, you know, scuttlebutt about the fact that he, welcome back, Logan. There was some scuttlebutt about the fact that he didn't talk to the media after he crashed out. And I don't know. I mean, you got to feel for this. It's not even just that he's crashing out and like having poor runs. It's like the way that it happens too, right? So like you almost have to laugh at it in a weird way. Like, I'm not laughing at him, but just what terrible luck. This guy has to sit through what, two hours plus of red flag rain delay, comes back out on the track, and it breaks on him during the caution laps, that before the race even goes back green, he's like, screw this, I'm out of here.
And then he parked it like he was a,
oh man, like just gets out. Like, but can you imagine, like, first of all, he already had a rough day before that. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And so he's like probably pissed having to sit there for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, however long it was, the red flag. And then, okay, finally, we're going to get you back in there and you can run around a few laps down and collect your, you know, 33rd place, maybe, if you're lucky. Nope. The car blows up on him, whatever it was. It just like took off into the wall and he's done for the day without even getting a chance to go back in there. So it's got to be demoralizing for him right now.
A question that I didn't think I'd have to ask in 2024. And I have my answer, but I want yours first.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, I don't want to use derogatory terms like washed up and past it, and because I think those are unfair to the athletes, and they could all still do better than us on their worst day. Trust me. Yeah. And I think that's unfair. But do you think that Kyle Busch has finally lost a step?
No, I think I chalk this more up to equipment being an issue, but I think paired with equipment issues is like a bad attitude. And I don't say that to pick on him. I just think maybe this is not going as well as he had hoped it would at RCR. And so is he maybe, you know, pushing a little harder than he should in some areas, trying to get out of this hole? And does that result in more mistakes and more screw ups and more issues. Do you know what I mean? Like in hockey, I know I'm sure there's not many hockey viewers watching here today, but in hockey, they always talk about this idea of like, if you're gripping the stick too tight, it's like you get to a point where maybe you haven't scored in a few games and you're starting to worry about whether you've still got it. And when the puck comes your way, they say you're gripping the stick too tight. It's kind of just a metaphor really, but it's like, you're trying so hard in that moment to score because you're like, the streak of games without scoring is going so long now that it's getting worrisome and it's getting in your head. And then something that you should have maybe scored, you don't because your hands aren't ready or, you know, whatever it is. So I feel like there's some of that going on with Kyle Busch. I don't think necessarily we're seeing like his skill level fall off. I think about someone like Martin Truex Jr. too, who, yeah, he's been kind of snake bitten too recently, but he's doing well enough. You know, he's got, even when things go wrong, he manages to make the most out of the day. Like even, I don't know, it was a terrible turn of events for him at New Hampshire and he managed to salvage a top 10 out of it. So I think the skills are still there. I mean, surely there's going to be a little bit of drop off as you get a little older, but I don't know if it's enough that we're going, oh yeah, Kyle Busch is never going to win again. You know, like, I don't think, have you, maybe you think differently. You said you had an answer. Have we seen Kyle Busch's last win?
I'm going to say no. And if it happens, it's because he was too low to RCR.
Right.
Because he won three times last year. Now he ran all those off pretty early in the season. So you kind of forget it. Mm-hmm. Kind of forget that. I mean, so that's one of those narratives that I don't understand that even Kyle is talking about. Well, I got to figure out more about this car. What do you mean you won three times last year?
Yeah.
Three
wins came in the first 15 races.
Yeah.
So he's winless since then.
The people that go, and there are those that are starting, Kyle Busch is washed up and Kyle Busch is done. And I'm sorry. And no one has been a bigger detractor of Kyle Busch on several incarnations of this show than yours truly. He is still a top three talent out there.
Absolutely.
He might still be the most talented driver out there, even. In talking talent versus talent, there are a few people I would trust more. And you would say, well, that's just silly. And maybe it is. Time will tell.
I don't know if it is silly. I think I agree with you.
But it's – what's up, Ryan? How are you? We're talking about the struggles of Kyle Busch. And, you know, do you think Kyle Busch is washed? Do you think he's at the end of the line? Do you think he's lost a step? Adam and I don't think so. We think it's more of an RCR or equipment issue, some bad luck. Because let's be honest, if Kyle Busch didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any at all.
Seriously.
I'm sorry. I think the people that go, well, Kyle Busch has finally kind of passed it. He's reached the point that all the greats do. We've seen Jimmy Johnson do it, Jeff Gordon, going further back, of course, Richard Petty. And I don't think he's there yet. He's still just 39 years old. I'm not saying I don't know if he's got another, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't know about that. But I mean,
here's the question that you need to ask as far as Kyle Busch right now. Let's say in a weird world, he doesn't leave for RCR and he stays in the 18. Do we have a Kyle Busch in the 18 right now who's sitting on a 39 race winless streak?
Oh, absolutely not. 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Right? And so I think if the answer to that is even remotely no, then yeah, you got to chalk it up to equipment and the team itself. RCR. I don't know how you could look over at Austin Dillon in the 3 and think, yeah, I think I want to join that team. I think they look like they're doing all right. Tyler Reddick was clearly overperforming in that equipment, but I don't know. Like, I don't know what's happening at RCR. They're not having a good go.
My guess is, but again, I think it's a little strange about the fact of we're talking about a guy potentially missing the playoffs. And I mean, there's still 8 races to go. There's people say, well, that's not very long, and it's not, but it's also a lot's going to happen in those 8 races. So let's not kid ourselves. You know, he could still point his way in if he puts some runs together. And I think I will never say that Kyle Busch can't put some runs together. We're not there yet. I just wonder if it's just strange that he had 3 wins in the first 15 races of last season. And now And now we're looking and wondering, will he win this season? Will he win again? And I know the win is more important to him than the playoffs. He's made that clear.
Yep.
Sorry, had to sneeze, couldn't fight. Sorry. But I know the win is more important to him than the playoffs. He's made that very clear. He wants the consecutive season win streak to continue. I think he would hit 20 if he gets.
Yeah.
I think he's at 19, which is one ahead of the King. And I think it would be 20 this year if he gets a win. I just, again, I don't personally think he's past it, but it's worth talking about. And frankly, it's worth talking about if he's waiting for the next good ride to open up and going, I'm going to see if I can get out of this contract, because
seriously,
it must not be fun.
It must not be fun at the Kyle Busch household these days.
It must not. It must not.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk just for a second. Christopher Bell had another big win in the Xfinity Series. I thought Austin Creed was going to get it done.
You mean Sheldon Creed?
Sheldon Creed. My bad. I said Austin Creed.
Austin Hill.
Yeah, I had them too. Sheldon Creed. I thought Sheldon Creed was going to finally get it done. I said this. They're going to. Bell and Hill are going to overdo it. I thought Creed's going to sit there in the catbird seat, because I like being third. I like being third. Yeah. That, because third means you got a chance to just, all I got to do is wait for a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just capitalize and go, I'm going to slide on.
We've seen it time and time again, for sure. So
And so I like third. I like it better than second. And frankly, I like it better than first. Some people would say that's nuts, but I do. I think it's harder to hold the lead. I really do. And so I thought it was gonna happen for him, and it didn't. It did not. So, any thoughts on this Xfinity race before we talk about the NHRA and John Force?
No, I don't think so. I just think, it's crazy. Christopher Bell is what, 4-for-4 now at New Hampshire in the Xfinity Series. Mm-hmm. That's wild. So, props to him.
He's the New Hampshire hero. He is the Loudon Lobster himself at this point. He's got that place down in a way comparable to Martin Truex, comparable to Jimmy Johnson and his best tracks when he was really at his best. I mean, it's incredible. All right. The NHRA yesterday, where they were the Virginia Nationals, and of course, legendary John Force, who every year GOAT is of NASCAR, ladies and gentlemen, and that's a wide debate. There is no debate on the GOAT of NHRA. It literally is John Force.
Yeah.
He had a scary crash yesterday where his engine pretty much completely malfunctioned and blew up, and he was taken to a medical facility. The John Force social media team put out a statement. Adam, if you want to pull that up, maybe you want to go ahead and read it.
Yeah. It's long. We don't have to read the whole thing.
You can read a few of it. Yeah.
Yeah. John Force, drag racing's most prolific winner and a contender this year for an unprecedented 17th NHRA Funny Car Championship. It doesn't say this year, but he's 75 years old as well, which is just insane. Was injured Sunday in the 300-mile-an-hour crash of his peak antifreeze and coolant Chevrolet Camaro in the first round of the 14th Play NHRA Virginia Nationals. The Hall of Fame driver and car owner crossed the finish line at Virginia Motorsports Park in 4.1 seconds at a speed of 302.62 miles per hour after winning his first round race, when his car suffered a catastrophic engine failure that sent it on fire, careening across the track and into the concrete guard wall bordering the left side of the track. That impact sent it back across the track into the right guard rail before it came to a rest in the middle of the track. Oh, it does say his age later. There you go. See? But yeah, so he was taken to a nearby medical center for further evaluation, and he is in the ICU. That's kind of the latest update we've had. But I did also read another update where they had said that he was alert and talking to medical staff when he was brought there. So that's a good sign.
I saw the footage of him being taken away. He was chatting to the, as he was getting put into the, to the ambulance, and that's it. So I think that's a wonderful sign. Now, anything, of course, can happen.
Oh, for sure. And not to be ageist, but I just imagine your recovery time when you're 75 is a little longer than you know, an Eric Jones coming back from a broken back in like 3 weeks here. So,
no, hoping for the best to, for John. Certainly, mm-hmm. he's in our thoughts and our prayers and good vibes, whatever you're into. No, John is a
he's got two wins this season.
Yeah, he's I believe his 157th Wally. I mean, they were talking about can he pass the king, and
that's craziness. And, yeah,
yeah, you know, especially for me, because I will be at Norwalk this weekend, as we've talked about a little bit. And obviously, he is the Babe Ruth of that sport. And so, for him to, you know, and we're not saying that he yeah. won't be at Norwalk, we have no idea.
Yeah, no, it's there's no way to know.
I would guess it's a stretch, he'll be in the car.
For sure. I don't foresee that. And honestly, it depends on his situation, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make an appearance in Ohio this weekend. So, but
I would, yeah, I mean, maybe he has immediate availability. And of course, he's still the owner of John Force Racing. So he's got dragsters to support and a team to help run. No, it's a bummer. Number one. And he, you see just because NHRA doesn't get the pub that NASCAR does and other motorsports. But you see what a household name he is. By the way, it blew up on X I mean, major Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, you name it, they've covered it. It tells you what a household name John Force is.
Yeah.
So we send our best wishes, of course, and AJ, if you're still watching, pass along our best wishes to Ross. And we hope he's back in the saddle real soon. You know, he's got to, you know, have no idea when he's going to call it a day. He doesn't either. He's got to go out on his own terms.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked a little cup race. We've talked to Infinity. We've given you an update on John Force. So that means, Mr. Caramon, it's time for some happy hour headlines.
Wow. Look at this, like, professional way you did that. That was nice.
Yeah. I'm like SpongeBob. I bring it around town.
That's good.
So we'll get the official announcement tomorrow, I presume, at about 1
p.m. That's the plan, tomorrow. Yeah.
That probably was a sped-up process thanks to somebody. Christopher Bell had the biggest faux pas of all time in the media center this past weekend in New Hampshire when he accidentally spoiled the fact that Chase Briscoe is going to take over the 19. Well, to be fair, he said Chase. So could be Chase Elliott, could be Chase Purdy. it's everybody and their mama knows it's Chase Briscoe.
Yeah.
So he's going to the 19 as you had predicted on this show last week. So given that that is the man that's going to replace kind of quote unquote your guy, what do you think of that?
I'm not 100% surprised. He brings a lot of funding with him, which is, important these days, whether you agree with that or not. It is kind of a prerequisite for getting one of these kind of top rides. And so, and yet I do think that he has a decent amount of talent to back that up. You know, I don't see him as someone who doesn't deserve the ride, but just brings funding. We saw certainly a bit more of a dominant Chase Briscoe in the Xfinity series than we have seen in Cup. And as we also know, he's been on an SHR team that is now shutting down. Right. So we don't know exactly what resources are going, you know, what that's like at SHR right now. He's had a couple good runs. Obviously came in second this past weekend, which is great. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm excited to see kind of what he does in the 19. I don't know if it's I don't know if I'm ready to carry my fandom on with him and keep going in the 19 with him, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. So
we'll see. We'll keep you updated on as the fandom turns. I don't care about it.
I do want to just say this. I wish I had prepped better here. I wanted to throw this up on the screen, but I'll just read it to you. This, you know, my favorite Twitter follower or follow, not follower. He's not following me yet, but NASCAR Chasm, always just bringing hilarious stuff. It was like midway through the race, he tweeted out what drivers are saying about their cars. And it was like Chase Elliott says, a bit tight in the center, need better drive off. Ryan Blaney says, way loose into the corner. Christopher Bell says, hey, Sam Mayer, we're having a surprise party for your birthday this week. Damn it, why do I do this?
Well, that'll probably make your top 10 tweets of the week.
That's good.
On X, you can poor check.
You know, just the look on his face, there was no escape. Yeah. Like, there was no way to get out of that.
He went, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
because you just what a faux pas. I mean, I'll bet Coach Gibbs was almost ready to swear, and he almost never does. I told you we're waiting on the sponsorship announcement, Chris.
One thing that was interesting, sorry, I wanted to also add this too. I know they're announcing tomorrow, there's a press conference scheduled for tomorrow, and they're saying they're announcing the new driver of the 19. So that is coming out tomorrow. But James Small, the crew chief for Martin Truex Jr., is also going to be at this press conference, seemingly indicating that he is going to stay on as the crew chief. There's been lots of talk about James Small, not always great. And I don't mind him necessarily, but certainly some things have not gone his way. So I think that's interesting. I wouldn't have been shocked if they went a different direction for next
year. Lots of opinions.
Yeah, that was my diplomatic way of saying he's got some haters
Does got some haters. Now we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully we can get a better idea of who not only Chiefs Bruce could be in the 19, but who's going to crew chief, sponsor, those sort of things. Very interested to see how all that shakes out. And it's kind of an end of an era for the 19 car. So we'll see what happens. Of course, with the way NASCAR works, we still have till November. I mean, yes, Truex is retiring, but it's not tomorrow. So he's not retiring at all. He's slowing down.
That's true.
All right. Speaking of more silly season news, Gene Haas, as it turns out, says, nope, Tony Stewart's the one getting out, not me. He has announced that he is going to maintain or acquire, I don't know how that's going to work, but a legacy charter from Stewart Haas. He's going to run one Cup Series charter and two Xfinity Series teams. It's going to be called the Haas Factory Team, so they put a lot of work into that name in the marketing department. That's good. Did a little better there. It took me a while to warm up the Legacy Motor Club because it's a little uppity sounding, but at least I can say this, they thought about it for a while. Haas Factory Team feels like 15 minutes, maybe. But
yeah, that feels like the working title that they're like, once we figure out the name, then we'll change.
We'll do the presser and all that.
And they just never came up with anything better. So they're like, sure.
Haas Factory Team. I don't know, Haas Motorsport, Haas Racing, Gene Haas and Friends, something. But kind of a surprise because remember, it was a joint statement from Tony Stewart and Gene Haas that indicated they've got a lot of fingers in different pots and a lot of feet in the fire, and it's just become less than advantageous, and I'm paraphrasing, to run a NASCAR team, but then Gene Haas puts this statement out, announces that he is going to stick around and says he needs something to promote Haas Automation and his company. So I'm a little surprised by this. What was your take on the announcement?
Yeah, it makes me wonder if the asking price that they had for these charters was maybe being balked at a little bit by some of these other teams who were interested in getting it. There's been talk about whether Dale Jr. Wants to get into the Cup Series, and maybe the price was too high. And so maybe the plan was for them to sell all four charters and that was just going to be the end of it. But maybe after seeing the market and putting the announcement out there and seeing maybe there isn't as much interest for, paying this much for a charter, maybe he goes, maybe we'll just keep one and see what happens. And I don't know. There's we have to promote Haas Automotive. I don't foresee it being like a strong contending team next year.
No, but it is. I agree. I don't think it's going to exactly light the world on fire for the Ford folks, but I mean, it is a Cup ride.
Yeah.
And so it does add another domino, yet another domino to silly season. Would you say that Cole Custer is the front runner for that ride, given that it is going to promote Gene's company that Cole Custer does constantly almost every Sunday or every Saturday in the Xfinity Series, pardon me.
Well, and his dad is
the team president.
I think it makes sense for him to be the kind of natural fit there, but I also don't know if that's the best choice for Cole Custer. There's a lot of rides that are opening up this silly season, and I would hate for, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know. Sure. It would just suck, I think, for Cole Custer. He's already come up once to the Cup Series and been kind of demoted pretty much back down to Xfinity. If he's going to come back up and again, some lesser equipment, if that's, I mean, we don't know that for sure, but
right.
I'm foreseeing Haas factory team not being, you know, Cup contenders. And I don't know. I just feel like Cole Custer is doing pretty well down in Xfinity and showing that he maybe does deserve a chance in some better equipment. And then is he going to get screwed over basically just by his dad being involved in Haas and maybe count himself out of a different ride that might be a little better?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because there's question marks at front row. Harrison Burton is at least on the hot seat at Wood Brothers. We have a domino falling now with Chase Briscoe likely to be announced tomorrow. But there's a lot of questions.
It seems like the Harrison Burton thing is almost decided as well. It seems like he's out. There's been talk. I mean, before this whole Chase Briscoe thing to the 19, it seemed like he was the front runner to move to the 21. Mm-hmm. And then I guess, you know, suddenly MTJ is like, maybe I'm done. And it's like, okay, yeah, hold on. I'm not ready to commit to that just yet. But
hold the phone, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems like Harrison Burton is gone.
It would take, assuming the paperwork hadn't been filed for we're getting a new driver, Harrison Burton would need to start putting together some runs like Nashville. So again, I would say at the very least he's on the hot seat. I think it is pretty much close to decided. But if he lucky and won Nashville, then you would have to go, well, maybe. But, you know, it would it just – because getting rid of a Cup winner's kind of a faux pas.
I just mean, I don't know. I don't see him winning. That's
I don't either. But I mean,
you know, and second of all, I don't know if.
But there's questions about Daniel Suarez at Trackhouse, and you know, there's, and of course he got the one win in Atlanta. But other than that, it hasn't been, you know, certainly recent weeks, it hasn't been a whole lot of fun. He didn't run great yesterday, but you know, that was out at the New Hampshire Puddle, and so we'll see how that works out going forward. There's a lot of dominoes. A lot of dominoes. If I'm Gene Haas and I'm wanting to compete, and I don't mean, you know, I think championship contender is a little, certainly a stretch for 2025. If I'm Gene Haas, the guy I realistically have my eye on that I think could outdrive whatever he's given with enough time, I think he's proven this, is Josh Berry. I mean, Josh Berry is really impressed in that four. He's really impressed. It started out slow, started out tough, but he and Roddy Childers have got something working to where Josh Berry has been a legitimate contender to win the last two races. And look, if you'd have told me that, especially post shutdown announcement, when usually then resources start getting scattered, and you know, I mean, that's pretty incredible. So if I'm Gene Haas and I want to compete enough to be respectful, to respectfully promote my company, and maybe even sneak up there and win one a time or two, I'm looking at Josh Berry and Rodney Childers, and I'm bringing them back into the building that they know, because it's going to be ran right out of that same. And that's who I have my eye on. But I agree. I think Cole Custer is the front runner for that ride, presuming he doesn't have a better offer or something.
Even if he does, I don't know. Like, how do you say no to dad? You know, like, that's a weird, I don't know.
The dynamic is interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Changes are expected for the 2025 playoff. So break that down for us, Adam.
Yeah, I know the 2025 schedule, Bob Pockers keeps saying, oh, it should be out this month. And he said that a few months in a row now. And he's even mentioned that he's surprised it's not out yet. But
it's like last year.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But we're getting there are some rumors going around that seem pretty, you know, pretty legit. Looks like Darlington, which is just because of the Olympic break, got moved to being the last race of the regular season this year, is going to go back to being the playoff opener next year. That's the Southern 500. It looks like Gateway, WWT, is going to move into the playoffs, and so is New Hampshire, which is interesting. I wonder if that is like weather related. At least with New Hampshire, it feels like there's always rain in New Hampshire, and maybe they're thinking put it into September, October might be better. I don't know. So those are apparently going into the playoffs. And what that means is that Atlanta is coming out. Watkins Glen, after a 1-year stint, is going to come out of the playoffs. And so is Homestead, which is upsetting. I like Homestead being there. I mean, Homestead should be the final race, but
yes, it should.
I also read some rumors, and this is, you know, this is totally, take this with a grain of salt. This is internet rumors from like message boards, so who knows? But I've heard rumors that Homestead will be back as the finale for 2026. So who knows? Who knows if that's true? But that's what the scuttlebutt is these days. So
no, it's going to be an interesting schedule. I'm looking forward to, you know, it used to be you could pretty much within a week or two fill in the NASCAR schedule.
Yep.
Within a week or two. Obviously, they would move some things here and there.
Yeah.
But overall, it was the same track, same time, but, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Now, now you have several different tracks vying for spots. Sometimes in Chicago's case, it's not a true track. It's a, let's run on a freeway.
The streets. Yep.
Yeah. let's stop at that McDonald's down there while we're in turn seven.
Yeah.
And so, no, it is so fascinating. We know they want to go international with Mexico. There's been some
scuttlebutt. Mexico and or Montreal, yeah.
There's been some scuttlebutt about Montreal. Japan has been floated again. Oh, Kentucky really? Wants another shot. Yep. That's been a big story in recent weeks. So Kentucky.
I did see there's talk that Bowman Gray Stadium might get the Clash next year.
Going old school right there. Let's hope that happens. Yeah. Come on, let's go. I want some old school. Damn it. We do know that North Wilkesboro is going to be the All Star race yet again. So there's a lot of interesting. The dichotomy and the dynamics that NASCAR has to play with, trying to figure out these schedules every year now, says two things. I wouldn't want to be it because, boy, you talk about the Mideast peace crisis. And number two, the demand for NASCAR is back, and that's wonderful.
Yeah,
there's a demand for the great sport of NASCAR and, frankly, motorsports as a whole. We're on the verge. We're on the verge of another real kind of golden era here. If we can just parlay it just right.
Yep.
We're getting close. We'll see if it happens. Congratulations go out to Tony Stewart and Leah Pruitt. They're expecting. Of course, that's why Tony Stewart's in the car. They were going to start a family, so congrats to them. Sheldon Creed tied the record for most P2s that way, and that's 10 runner-up finishes now. So I got to think he gets it done eventually. And Matty D was disqualified from New Hampshire after 3 lug nuts were missing. So he's made a lot of good moves on that opportunity. Parlayed into a full-time ride, but unfortunately, you know, the crew chief and the crew kind of bit him there. Any thoughts on any of that before we move on to our weekend preview?
No. We covered it. That's all.
With that, as we get close to bringing home, it's time for our weekend preview. That's right. It looks like we're in Lightning McQueen's trailer. If he had like a rating or something, I like it. All right, so NASCAR, everybody is back for Nashville. Finally, the Truck Series
has come out of
the International Witness Protection Program, and they have come home, and they will be in Nashville this weekend.
Yep.
Clint Boyer are going to be in a truck. Frankie Muniz, Malcolm in the Middle going to be in a truck. There's some different names on the entry list this
What do you think his spotter says if he's in the middle of 3 wide – at any point, just
I mean, look, if Bryan Cranston is a decent father at all, you know, because he failed Breaking Bad. So if he's a decent father at all, he'll come check out the race on Friday.
That'd be cool.
You know, maybe stopping and be a Fox. So
there's a lot of entries for that truck race. Mm-hmm. There's more entries than there are spots. So it'll be interesting.
Someone's going home. And so
we
always, you know, we hate to see anyone go home, but we like the competitiveness.
Yeah. I like that. I like seeing someone go home. I'm just mean, but
yeah, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I think it's good.
You slow ass. All right. The Xfinity Series, of course, Nashville as well. And then Sunday in Nashville, Ross Chastain won here last year. Anything stick out to you for Nashville?
It's a somewhat newer addition back to the Cup Series docket there, the schedule. Speaking of schedule stuff, I don't know. It's my data is not super complete as far as Nashville goes because we haven't had a ton of races. Only 3 in the last little bit. Ross Chastain is definitely a favorite for sure.
Yes, and frankly, Trackhouse probably needs a good run. They've been a little quiet in the last, I'd say, month, and so they probably need a good run. No, it'd be interesting to see. I know the 66 is back on the entry list this week under the name Power Source, though, not the usual NBM Motorsports, which is
interesting. Okay. So I missed
it's Chad Fincham in the 66, as you would kind of, you know, the rotating drivers that are the 66. He's certainly one of them. But it's under the name Power Source instead of NBM Motorsports, and yet the owner is still Carl Long, so that's kind of odd. Oh.
Did we also see – is it the 50 car that's also in for – Did I read that correctly?
Corey Heim going to be in a.
But it's for 2311, right? Yeah.
Corey Heim going to be in a third car for 2311.
But it's weird that they're using the 50 number. Like,
so his Legacy Motor Club ties are officially bye bye.
I guess so.
And so it's going to be an interesting race. Peter and I will be in. Producer Peggy and I will be in Norwalk, Ohio. We'll at least be there Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
You know, looking forward to that. Obviously, hoping John is well enough to be at the track, whether that's in the car or not, or just as an owner, just so that's not a big somber cloud.
Right.
But looking forward to it. First time ever professionally really going to truly cover a race, and we'll be dishing out the hot con for RacingRush.com. Do I hate that I'm missing Nashville? Damn right I do.
Yeah.
Damn right I do. I'm excited for the opportunity, but
We'll catch you up. Yeah. We'll catch you up on Monday next week.
So take care of my boys here, who had a good week, all things considered, yesterday. I mean, 8-13.
Not bad. We'll take it.
I ain't too bad about it.
Especially, could be worse and has been.
Especially because John Hunter was like 32nd all race long, and then suddenly things went a little different. F1 is in Austria, so of course, our man Mad Max, he got it done last week. So
Max Verstappen,
as he usually does, though he hasn't been quite as proficient this year. So
yeah, it's true.
That is worth noting. So we gotta get close to bringing it home. So that means it's time for some Racing Refresh pickaroos.
It is indeed.
Producer Peggy, come on in here.
Let's just have a quick moment to celebrate what a beautiful pick I made last week. I picked Christopher Bell.
He
takes home the double win, really. Uh-oh.
If you recall, I was supposed to pick Christopher Bell, and you stole him from me.
I know.
And that should have been my win.
Well, listen, this is the other thing, too. Instead of picking Bell, you picked Chase Briscoe, who came second. So, Producer Peggy is just rolling here. She's killing us. Do you have a points update there for us?
I do.
Yeah.
I
do. It's she's beating us still. There we go. In the strangest order, but
she'll work on it.
There it is. Yeah, you guys can figure that out at home. Use your math. Figure out where.
It was not a good week for me. Alex Bowman, I believe, is who I took, and he had the engine issue
and finished 36th.
Yeah, so I went from first to worst right there.
When Kyle Busch is beating the driver you picked, you're in trouble. So
wow. All right.
Well, that means you get to pick first. Yeah. This week. So who you got for Nashville?
Well, I'm gonna try to right the ship. Of course, I will be in beautiful Norwalk, Ohio, with my lovely lady. So I'm gonna try to right the ship. I'm gonna take Kyle Larson in Nashville.
Kyle Larson. All right, it's not a bad pick. He's won there before.
Yeah.
Next up is Colin, who is not here, but he's given us his pick. He has picked Justin Haley, who actually was looking like he was having a good run at New Hampshire again.
Looking if we don't get back going, he's got a great run. And frankly, even a little bit after the rain,
there was an issue like on the last lap, and he ended up finishing 29th, unfortunately. But Producer Peggy, you're up next.
I'm going to redeem myself, and I'm going to take Christopher Bell this week.
Okay.
And he'll probably finish last.
Well, I need that to happen because I need those points.
Yep. I am going to say, who am I going to pick here? You know, I should really plan this out before. Let's go with, who have I not picked yet? I'm going to say Noah Gregson gets it done.
He's been surprisingly stout in the 10. Not always great. Had a rough time this week once we got back going. Yeah.
He's going to bounce back just like User Peggy thinks she's going to. So there you go.
He's been stout. So, all right. Well, we've made our picks.
Stay tuned for next week's show to see if any of us can catch up to Producer Peggy.
I'm not too terribly far behind.
I'm in the hunt, baby.
I'm on that bubble. I'm like Joy Logano and Bubba Wallace. I'm nervous, but I'm in the hunt.
So you're not out of it.
Yeah. All right. So with that, look, it's been another great edition, Racing Refresh Happy Hour. And Frank, I mean, here's how magical we are. Producer Peggy's hair is not gonna be the same color at the end of this thing as it was at the start. So with that,
still looks a little bit like a diaper, but we'll let it slide.
That's all right. I was a big Captain Underpants guy back in the day. So with that, it's time for a little bit of closing time. Look, you don't have to get off the internet. You just can't stay at this particular link. Another great addition. The Racing Refresh Happy Hour has hit the skids almost as we continue the march towards episode 100. But first, we'll do 52 next week. All right, Adam Carabine, give me some final words.
Yeah, looking forward to just hearing about your guys' trip out to the track this weekend. Looking forward to just hearing all about how that goes, and excited for you guys. I'm telling you, bring earplugs though. You're gonna regret it if you don't. But
it's not happening.
Producer Peggy, you should bring some. Just don't listen to him.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying
you know what? If you don't bring earplugs, Producer Peggy, you might never have to listen to him again because you won't be able to. So maybe that's worth a shot.
And there's some subjects she is sure tired of hearing me talk about.
I can't imagine. I know the feeling a little myself. So there you go.
I just talk about the club to everybody. So
looking forward to that for you guys this weekend. And I think it's going to be a fun race out in Nashville this weekend too.
Yeah. You're going to keep us updated on that. We'll keep you updated in Norwalk. I need to know how my club's doing. So keep that phone by you.
We'll be in touch.
I know Sheila keeps you busy, but I need to know how my club's doing.
My people will let your people know.
It's all the voices in her head. Yeah. All right. Final words, Producer Peggy.
I will let you guys know how my meeting with Tony Stewart's baby goes.
Okay.
We'll
look for the article on racingrefresh.com, a live exclusive interview.
Yeah, we're going to take a selfie.
Just you and the bump.
No, it'll be the actual baby.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. So with that, look, we hope that you have enjoyed this episode. And we hope that you are doing well. The heat wave has ended a little bit here in the good old US of A. So we're enjoying that. Peter and I heading up to the track this weekend. Excited about that. One more time, we do want to extend our best wishes to John Force and Co. as they're going through a stressful time, but we're sure John will bounce back because he's tougher than a $2 steak, really, so he'll be all right.
It's true.
And we look forward to that, and we hope he's willing enough to be at the track this weekend. So until then, we hope you enjoy Nashville, and we hope you enjoy F1 if you're into that. IndyCar's off, but we hope you enjoy the highlights of their previous races. And we just hope you enjoy Racing Refresh Happy Hour half as much as we enjoy all of you that comment. So thank you to Freddie. Thank you to AJ. Thank you to Ryan. And thank you to anyone that's ever commented on this show before. We appreciate you. You are valued, and keep bringing it whether we agree with you or not. So until next week, hearty hock to, and we'll see you at the next track.